outdoors in my heart. And this week we want to focus on establishing new habits and patterns for order in our lives. We want to seek from the Spirit the power to establish new habits. As we were singing earlier, one of the songs that we've been blessed with from Eric, Lead Me Adonai. It says, Lead me Adonai in your righteousness. Make your way straight before me. Let those who lie in wait for me fall through their own intrigues. And you know, all the things that happen in our lives, not everything, but a good number of the things come from Adonai. And he leads us. And he opens up the straight paths. And you can have a seat if you want, because I'm just going to go right in. Thanks, Eric. You know, and as we were singing that, it just kind of struck me, as Brian had mentioned, that things come to us. And part of what I looked at this week when we were looking at the scriptures was the Lord's movement on different people. And there's a lot of people that the Lord touched in all the readings this week. And I hope that many of you are participating. I know it's hard, but participating in our reading schedule. We've only got one page left, so if you jump in now, you can still get in on the fourth quarter, as they say. It's a very rewarding time, and it's the only place that I believe that you'll find out what the Lord wants in your life. Okay? This book right here is more important than anything else that you'll ever pick up. It's still the number one bestseller in the world. There has been more of these sold. Fortunately, I don't know how many of them have been read, but we know that they've been sold. But, you know, I was reading a book by Derek Bonhoeffer, and it talks about communal life, and it talks about family life in particular, and many of the things in it we don't do. But one of the things that was important to me, and just jumped out, it was the reading of Scripture, and not reading just a snippet for the day, a word for the day, but actually reading a whole chapter, put it in context. Many times, you know, we've talked about this many times, when you read a snippet of something, it doesn't necessarily bring out anything. It was just like when we read to the children this morning the portion of the Torah. Well, if we had read them the part that Bob read, they would have figured out what we were talking about. So they just looked at it, you know, as, what does this mean? I don't get what the answer to our question was. If we'd have backed up a little bit and indicated that Joshua was going to be the next leader, as it says, they might have got the point. So part of that's my fault. I just picked it up and read it as I got up here. And next time I won't do that. I'll make sure I do the rest of it. But it's very important to read the scriptures. There is nothing that we should do in our day before we do that. Now, it's very hard, and I get up early in the morning. I'm lucky enough I can go to work a little later, so I have an opportunity to spend some time reading. But some days it's very hard to get up because maybe I stayed up the night before and watched something, or Karen and I were talking about something, or there's many different things that can happen that keep you up late so that you just don't have that energy and that zeal and those things to get up and read. And some of us are early risers, or we're at work at 4 in the morning. I understand that, and I wouldn't want to get up at 2 and try to read either. But find a time during the day. You know, the Lord in Numbers this week, when he talks about later on, he talks about it, the law of offerings in chapter 28. And he says, command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offerings, my food for my offerings by fire, of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord, 2 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. You shall offer one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. This is a command to Israel. Now, we can't go out in our backyards and offer lambs these days. I understand that. But the command is that we have an offering for the Lord. It's our time. It's our most precious commodity. It's the thing that Karen and I can't get enough of together. By the time you do all the other things in the day, you've got this much time left. And part of what we're looking for here is, make straight my ways before me, O Lord. Help me find a way to change the things that need to be changed. You know, a year and a half I got up here and I announced that I was borderline diabetic and I lost about 25 pounds. Well, I've gained all that back plus some. I had a good plan for about 8 months. And then it was eat a little here, eat a little there. Oh, this won't hurt me. I'll take this day off. Then I'd fast for 2 days, which is not good either. And then I'd eat again. And slow but sure, last week I was in Texas, or the week before last, I was in Texas visiting our agents. And they all, and our attorneys and different people that we need to see from time to time in business setting, every one of them had to take you out to dinner or lunch. And they weren't little things, and they all wanted to buy appetizers. And well, that was fun, but I came home about 10 pounds heavier. And those are the kind of things that get us, you know. And it's not that they're evil and they're nasty. It's just that the world is there. You know, Pincus, who this portion is named after, was a priest. And he became zealous because the Midianites figured out a way to get to Israel through Balaam, who we read about last week and we'll read about again next week, later on, that they would attract them with their women. And he became so zealous that this was happening again to Israel and that people were dying as the last of those in the wilderness needed to die died off, that he went in and he killed one of the leaders of one of the tribes, believed to be of Simeon, and also the daughter of one of the leaders of Midian. And it says, not in the scriptures per se, but the rabbis say that he was so upset, so angry, that he was red-faced. Now, all of us have met somebody that's been so angry at us that they're red-faced. I can think of several, including my mom, once or twice. And, you know, to be that angry, and it says that he took the anger of God. He was so zealous for Israel, who we prayed about in Psalm 106 this morning, the apple of God's eye. He was so zealous for them that he committed murder, which later was relieved from, and he became the next, in his lineage, became the high priest of Israel. We see in Acts 5, which was part of the readings this week, and we've turned there for a minute, we see Peter and John, thank you. Anyway, in chapter 5, about verse 12, the first part is with Ananias and Sapphira, and we know what happened to them, but it says, "And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them, however. The people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they were even carrying the sick out to the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. But the high priest rose up, along with his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of prison, and taking them out, he said, "Go your way, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." And upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak, and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates had come, they called the council together, even the Senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. But the officer who came did not find them in prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, "We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors. But when we had opened up, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them as to what would come of this. But someone came and reported to them, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captains went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, for they were afraid of the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you had put to death, hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom Adonai has given to those who obey him." I'll stop there for a minute. We know that the apostles were filled with the Spirit. We know that Phinehas had the Spirit of the Lord. We read in the Torah portion this morning that Joshua was given the Spirit. He was given a portion of Moses' Spirit. In the Old Testament, Adonai portioned out his Spirit. He would put it upon people and he would pull it off of people. We see that in Saul. Saul is an excellent example. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and at a later date it was removed from him. In the Brit Hadashah, we see many, many people being filled with the Spirit. We're all challenged to open up our hearts. You know, salvation does not come from within. You can't save yourself. You have to reach out to the Lord. Now, I'm preaching in a ways to the choir here because I know most of us know that. But it's very important that we understand where our salvation came from. That it was given to us. Somebody made straight the ways before us. The Lord comes to each person at that time of their life, sometimes some of us many times, to bring us into his family, his mishpoka. Yeah. Just as he brings each one of us in here in the morning. Yeah. And it's very important that we understand his words, that we have the words. You know, when we speak with people, that we just don't fumble over words. And I'm very bad at that. I understand the concepts, but I can't tell you where it is all the time. But I can find it when it's needed. But we need to be able to speak very casually, calmly, with the words of the Lord when we speak to people. There are people in our midst that do that very well. They've trained themselves. They've seasoned themselves to be that way. Moses listened to everything the Lord told him, and he did almost everything he was supposed to do until he struck the rock twice. And it cost him big time. There are consequences. And we must understand that as the Lord puts people before us, sometimes we're able to reach out to them and sometimes we don't. But we need to understand that we need to. When the Lord puts somebody in front of you, you need to be ready. We need to have all our lamps full, not only for the Lord, but for those He sends to us. Have your guns loaded, as they say. Because these are a time, you know, we were talking on the way over here, and if you've read and listened to any of the news in the last 2 weeks, the times are coming when these people who lie in wait for us, I mean, who would expect that 9 doctors in England would be lying in wait for England? I mean, that is just, that just cuts the knees out from underneath you, you know? We always think of people as being those people over there in the corner that kind of hide and don't do anything, but, and it's not to shed a light on a whole population, but we need to understand that this is coming about. Let those who lie in wait for me. There are those who lie in wait daily, just for us as believers. And we need to draw our strength from this book, our Kasach. Next week, when we finish the book, we'll say it 3 times. Strength, strength, give us strength, Lord. So I'm just going to stop here. There's a lot more to be talked about, but it's very important to be ready. We all think we're ready. Most of us have met our match in somebody we've tried to speak with. And it should cause us to move to the next level. Move up to the next level. Spend a little more time. Don't read a portion of a chapter. Read a chapter. Read the context. Look at the whole thing. If it doesn't make sense when you read it, and even if it does sometimes, because sometimes they're antonyms, you know, they're actually the opposite of what you're supposed to be getting. And we pick that little pearl out, and it may not be a white pearl, it may be a black pearl. We've seen that in people that fight with us, that are, argue with you, they'll take a portion of the word. Yeshua had that happen to him 3 times with Hasatan. And he fought back with these bullets, the word. So, you know, we've been emphasizing for a long time, read the word. Spend time in the Word. I know many of you are. But we need to continue. We need to strengthen that time. All these people that are zealous for the Lord also knew the Scriptures. They had the training. Phinehas Pinchas was a priest. He grew up with it. And to be a priest, you had to go through a lot of different training. Know the Word. Read the Torah. The scribes wrote it daily. You know, they reproduced it. The kings of Israel were supposed to write their own Torah. They were supposed to copy the Torah themselves so that they would know it word for word, letter for letter. And they were supposed to read it daily. The only one that it mentions is King David. And the rest of them found it from time to time. They would participate in these seasons, these festivals, the times of the Lord. The Lord sets aside during the year, and we all know Him, many, many holidays, many times to be with Him. Whether it's a day or 7 days, 8 days, whether it's a time to be out of work, which is hard to do because I'd use up all my vacation if I participated in all the days we were supposed to be off. And maybe we should be, but We're not an agrarian farmers these days, so things are a little different. But we have to understand that, and we have to take time. You know, if it's a special day, take a special time. Add a little time. It's important to spend time with the Lord. If you don't, you'll never know Him. If you don't spend time with your wife, you'll lose her. I did once. Luckily, I found her again. But those are important things. If you don't spend time with the people that you really want to know, and of course the Lord is probably the most important person to know, You need to spend time with him. He will not speak with you if you do not speak with him. He may send somebody in your way, but he wants to speak with you. So, please, 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 read the Word. Spend time in the Word. It's very important. We're very blessed to have Rabbi David, who is a very good teacher of the Word and can go through the Word with us, points out many things. I invite you to reread some of the stuff from this week and the portions for next week. It helps in your life. It brings things up during the day sometimes when it's just a strength for me. It adds to the day. It'll help me through a time in the late afternoon when I'm kind of tired and I'm kind of tired of being where I'm at, listening on the telephone, talking to people who have problems that I can't solve and probably won't solve for, which makes them even more unhappy. But that's the way it is. So, Father, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We just hope, Lord, that you'll be with us in these times, Lord. Show us your way. Give us strength, Father, that we may come before you, that we may spend time with you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. We ask that you place it in each one of our houses, in each one of our hands. Help us to share it with those we live with. Begin one of the things that is important is to share the word with those that are around you. You know, we have a Bible study once a week, and we talk from time to time, but we don't have a specific time to sit down and share. And that's one thing after reading some of this message that I want to look at, is that one of the changes in our house, I know Karen reads more than I do, remembers more than I do, that's for sure. But Father, we just thank you. We just ask you, Lord, to give us that hunger for your word. A new hunger this week, Lord, as we come before you fasting, that you will make changes in our lives, Lord. Give us that hunger, we pray, in the name of your Son. Amen. If you will all rise, we'll conclude. I don't think I have anything else that needs to be said. Do we, Paula? Did we miss anything? That's right. Prayer meeting Wednesday night, 7:30. Right here. It's important for the congregation to pray together, to come together, to focus. And we invite you to come and pray with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panav alecha. Vekuneka, visa Adonai panav aleka, v'yasam lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shabbat shalom.